Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about fox lights. These are little it's sort of containers with batteries in it, and it's got a ring of LED lights of different colours and a random number generator which generates the lights. They flash at different intensities, different lights at different times, all of a sudden, such that they'd have no predictability about them. And they act as pretty astonishingly powerful deterrents of foxes. And I'm just going to tell you the story of how I discovered them, and a little bit of the anecdotal evidence about them. So, I suppose the basic story is that I was getting some more oaten hay for our rats in a hay bag, which we've discovered which is by far the best way of keeping rats and other things out of the hay, having it in a hay bag. And I went to a produce place in the Blue Mountains, which is sort of up the crest, and then there's a valley, a hidden valley called Sun Valley, and that's caused from an ancient volcano. And when the heat of the earth hits the wet sandstone, it explodes, and we have these upside down volcanoes, which are these hidden valleys, very fertile valleys. And in one of those is the produce shop. So you go down this, the rim of this volcano. It's not something spectacular. It's probably only 100 meters or so. You go down and pick this up. And as I was waiting to pay for the hay, I looked and saw this thing called fox lights, and I couldn't quite work out what it was. There was snake repellents. Snake repellents are quite interesting. There's the solar energy snake repellents, and there is the issue of snakes in Australia. And these stakes go into the ground, and when the sun shines, they send vibrations into the ground, and apparently that very effectively removes snakes from your area. So obviously sometimes when you have toddlers around, small puppies, basically small curious animals, and Australia's snakes don't mix, but these things were tiny little circular ice cream tubs. And I was amazed, and I said, "Oh, how does the fox light work?" And they described it pretty much as I've said, random lights and stuff like that. And the person, so in this project thing, they have a large number of chickens, so sell the chickens for people to put out. And chickens are a fairly high maintenance thing in terms of they do produce eggs, but in certain periods of time, they do have lice up here, and they are eaten by quolls. So a quoll is a small marsupial cat, a very dangerous little cat. It's sort of like a possum. A quoll is spotted, smaller than a cat, and very voracious killers. They come in and rip up your chickens as they get in. And another thing to attack chickens are foxes. I'll give a bit of a story about how foxes came to a great land of Australia. They're in Australia. Foxes are in Australia, but they're not in Tasmania, the southern island of Australia, yet. And the story of how they got introduced are interesting. But getting back to it, it's well known that foxes are the death sentence for chickens, particularly in suburban areas. And there's one story of someone who's great chicken liker, you know, a daughter, someone loved the chickens, was a successful breeder and understood about them, and then a fox ate a lot of them, came in and ate a lot of them. Another case of people who we collect our bread from. We once a month collect a large amount of bread from this place. They have chickens out the back, lovely ladies, and they were there when a fox appeared and just stood on top of the fence and peered in. And most of the chickens dropped dead of heart attacks. There it happens. I obviously, you must go to chicken school. It must be the scent. It must be something. They just all froze and dropped dead. I suppose it's a nice thing. Apparently there's that, and we have sort of various rabbits and guinea pigs in cages outside, and whole lots of dangerous things happening around the place. But this, the person selling the wheat said, I asked, oh, does it work? And he said, yes, it definitely does work. He's been using them for 3 years and not a single fox attack. And people are discovering these things and they're not doing it. And I asked the origin. And he said, oh, it's actually invented by someone just a further 200 kilometres further inland. He came up with the idea. And is selling a lot of them, quite a lot. He's given up and is actually manufacturing full time. And they're used in other countries. In Africa, they're used around camping sites to keep the elephants out. It repels elephants. So we made a joke that, had he seen any elephants in this area? No, he has. I wonder if people have... I've mentioned this, and wildcats, lions, and wild lions in America, and stuff like this. So this simple system, it's got a massive impact, because rather than going out baiting, I don't know whether it has, what the impact does, it means that the life that you have is okay, but the other life, it means that your predators go off and eat something else, and I don't know at how well it works in general, whether it works, you know, whether you, it's such a thing which you can have. There is a problem here up in the Blue Mountains of people like to keep goats, especially if they have a property that's been bushfire ravaged, so they can't maintenance, they're not living there, and it overgrows fairly quickly. They love to keep goats. A few cases of that come along. But the goats, you say, oh, the goats are great, because you go and visit them and help like that, and the goats headbutt you. It's sort of a bit difficult. It's like you're bending over to pick something up, and the goat comes and headbutts you. They don't headbutt you from the front or the back. They headbutt you from the side. They sort of know where to go. But these goats, I said, where the goats are gone? And they said, oh, the wild dogs. And you speak to the national park, and they say, oh, there are 5 wild dogs, XYZ, and we're photographing them. And for some reason, they don't go out and shoot. I don't quite understand. They don't go out and shoot them and do anything like that. And so the actual sort of scientific control of vermin, I don't know. There's not a lot of money in national parks, and they always tend to cut them. But it's very much, they have a different view of their own efficacy, whereas a hunter will say, "Or oh, I've gone out and I've eliminated," and they've got no idea what they're doing, that the impact of it. So this is very studied. So what is happening is they will identify these dogs and do genetic studies of them and all this type of stuff, rather than actually go in and interfere with them. They've sort of studied them, understand them, modelling and stuff like that. So one wonders whether you could use this to protect your goats and stuff from wild dogs, but apparently that's not much of a thing. As I'm watching here, I'm seeing all these birds hanging around a place. We've had a beautiful, big, tall, 40-metre gum tree just a block or so away. Not a block, a house or so away. It's gone. And it was the home to lots and lots of different birds. And they sort of hang around the place at the moment. It's a bit sad to see. I don't know whether the people remove the eggs and all that type of stuff, or you know, what exactly happened there. But this entire story. And it's sort of rather a nice little success story here. And it changes people's, I suppose, attitude. It sort of creates a safe human zone, and what they do is every couple of months they just move the light around the place to come in and replace the battery every couple of months to see its efficacy. So it's a sort of an interesting aspect to it. Now let's talk about Australia and foxes. Who introduced foxes to Australia? Well, English upper-class people who wanted something to hunt on the weekend. So they brought in foxes into Australia so they could grow around here and they'd have something to hunt on their horses, you know, the English hunt, stuff like this. And this sort of says a little bit about the myopic vision, I suppose, of upper-class England or any cultural group which sort of sees them. Don't want to offend too many people, but these are the upper class people. Rabbits, it took several goes in Geelong for them to introduce rabbits and deliberately introduce them into the environment. Of course, this has caused huge plague proportions. It's for rabbits, for instance. The rabbits, one of the predators of rabbits. So rabbits have the problem of causing erosion and they just eat out. So in a good season, they explode with, or kangaroos also explode, but they tend to sort of burrow, whereas the kangaroos they have a way of hopping, they don't compact soil. Kangaroos, for instance, don't cause as much soil erosion as the hoofed animals, which sort of clumber around the place. So you can see a whole flock of kangaroos hopping and there's no dust behind them, whereas cattle and buffalo and stuff like that. So there's wild buffalo and wild camels, a large number of wild camels in Australia. And, it's rather hard to dock them off. But what they're probably now doing is using drone technology to go over and hunt them. Now, this is unfortunate that there are foxes absolutely everywhere. Occasionally, you see a fox just walking across. In army, you would always, if you had to see something, what, and you'd be hoping to see a bit of wildlife, see a fox appear, or you'd be tracking something and you realise, oh, these are fox tracks. You track it and they go underneath, you can see a fox, and then you'll see feathers and stuff where they've knocked off things. So there's these things introduced, and there's these animal controls, we have to live with quite dangerous insects and snakes, and there's this way of getting along with them, and it's sort of, I don't know, a curious thing to get along with the foxes, to keep them out and to see how our relationship with animals are going to change as they go around the planet. There are these invasive species. As I'm talking, there's these very brightly red-coloured parrots coming in. So that's just a little snippet into Australia, and also your fox light. A very interesting little thing. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.